been here since July. Amen. God has been blessing us mightily. And so today we will continue in that path. Father God, we love you today. We thank you for life, health, and strength. Now, Father God, as we expound upon your word, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father God, as John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that you may increase. So rise up, King Jesus, and show yourself strong. Lord, open up our ears that we may hear. Open up our hearts that we may receive. Open up our spirit so that your will, not our will, but your will be done in our lives. Father God, we thank you for forgiving us of our sins and our transgressions. And Father God, give us that same power to forgive others who have come up against us. Now, Father God, I speak peace into our lives and into the lives of our family. Let all things be done according to your perfect will and plan. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen. Amen. Can the church say amen again?
Amen.
And say it one more time.
Amen.
Come on and give the Lord a praise in this place. So this morning I want to read just a couple of scriptures to you today. Amen. Coming from our scripture text of 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll be reading from verses 6 and 7. I got three different versions that I want to read to you today from three different translations of the Bible, but I will end up with the King James versions, which I like the best. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. I'm waiting. Is everybody back? Everybody from the choir in here? Amen. Praise God for you. Amen. Amen. He's like, turn off Paw Patrol. Amen. So we praise God with you and for you today. So I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 from the New Living Translation. Is that all right?
Yes.
New Living Translation says this. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. From the American Standard Version, it says this, for which cause I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee through the laying on hand of my hand. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. Is that all right? Let's go to King James Version. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. Paul's telling Timothy, something happened when I anointed you. Something happened when God appointed you. Something happened when I laid my hands on you. Something happened when God called you. Here's what happened. For God has not given us a spirit of fear,
right,
but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This morning, our focus area of freedom will be breaking free from the spirit of fear. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm breaking free from the spirit of free fear, of fear,
of fear,
of fear. Tell somebody, I ain't scared. All right, we're going to find out in a minute. We're going to find out in 1 minute. Hello, 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 hello. In our search for what we needed to be free from, when I asked a few weeks back in July, what do we need to be free from? You all turned in your pieces of paper and we generated a list of 56 things that we needed to be free from. Everything from worry all the way to procrastination and everything in between. But in the top 10 of the list, we have the word, I need to be free from fear. Amen. Fear is right there. About 10 people said they needed to be free from fear. Amen. And so we're going to deal with fear today. We've already dealt with depression. Amen. We dealt with bondage. And so now we're dealing with fear. Tell somebody, I need to be set free. I need to be set free. So the dictionary definition of fear is this. As a noun, it says a distraction, a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, Whether the threat is real or imagined, the feeling or condition of being afraid. Amen. It says great concern or anxiety. Amen. It says something that causes feeling of dread or apprehensions, something that a person is afraid of. Anybody afraid of the dark? Ain't tell the truth and shame the devil, because I'm going to set you free today. I'm going to set you free today. Amen. 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 Reverential awe, especially towards God. When you stand in the presence of God, you should have some kind of fear in your heart out of reverence to who you standing before. Amen. You don't come to God any old kind of way. We come to God in a way that is respectable, reverent, humble. Fear, anticipation of the possibility that something unpleasant will occur. How many of us been up late at night worried and scared of what about to happen or what might happen or what seem might happen, and you wake up the next day and guess what? It don't happen. So you wasted all that time being scared for nothing. There's a website called thefearof.net. I had to go find it. And they list the top 10 things that people are scared of. Now, if I mess up these words, I'm not Hebrew or Greek. Amen. I would try to speak it out as best I can. Amen. Amen. Number one, acrophobia. Arachnophobia. That's right. I got some folk can read. Y'all can help me. Hey, thank you, Lewis Brown. It must be $1 million in this envelope. Thank you, bro. Amen. Gave me $1 million. Amen. The fear of spiders. Do I have anybody scared of spiders? Absolutely. Ophidiophobia. The fear of snakes. Anybody scared of snakes? Oh, Lord Jesus. Acrophobia. The fear of heights. Anybody scared? I got a place just for y'all. I got a place. If you scared of heights, I got a place just for you. When I was in Chicago, at the Sears Tower, up on the 140-something floor, they knocked out a whole wall and pushed it out 10 feet with plexiglass. So when you step out in there, it's like you're floating in there. But how many of you know buildings, that's how they start to sway? Well, I stepped out there, and I'm like, okay, let me step on back. Amen. I had to take a step back. Amen. Agoraphobia, the fear of open or crowded spaces. Amen. Cynophobia, the fear of dogs. Anybody scared of dogs? Amen. I got a couple of folks in here. Oh, Lord. Everything from a small poodle to a large Great Dane, you're scared of it. Amen. Astrophobia, the fear of thunder and lightning. I think some of our grandparents put that fear in us. Y'all be quiet. God doing his work. Turn off all the lights. Where my grandma folks at? Go in the basement while God do his work. Amen. Amen. While God do his work, go to the basement. Amen. That's what grandma used to tell us. Be quiet. Shh. Shh. So grandma put that fear in me. Shh. What? Mysophobia. The fear of germs. Amen. Just got to, amen. Got to say clean. Got to, Lord, got it bad. Oh, I missed seven. Claustrophobia. The fear of small spaces like elevators. Small rooms. Amen. I heard you. Somebody say, I can't wait till we get the bigger church because I'm claustrophobic right now. Amen. I heard you. 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 Amen. Amen. Mysophobia, the fear of germs. Amen. Then aerophobia, the fear of flying. I know I got some of them. I know I got some folk in here. Because I be talking about going on trips. They're like, Pastor, can we drive? Because I ain't getting on no plane. I'm like, it's going to be 15 hours. I don't care. I ain't getting on no plane. Amen. Amen. Trypophobia, The fear of holes is an unusual but pretty common phobia. I got it when I turned the corner coming down Charlotte Street, all them holes in the street. Yes, Lord. I did send a letter to the city. I want all of y'all pull up the city of Cincinnati, and they got a place where you can type in for them to come out and fix stuff. I want every member of Bright Star to type in at the city of Cincinnati, 809 Charlotte Street, come fix these potholes in front of our church. Amen. I already started it. I did it. Well, if you get a hold of your tire, y'all let me know. Amen. Because that, you don't have that in Hyde Park. Hello, somebody. You don't have that in Indian Hill. Hello. And I don't want them to just come fill the hole, grind up the whole street, and put down a whole new pavement. Amen. Do it right. Do it right. Because if you just patch it, come wintertime, it's going to freeze, it's going to thaw, it's going to freeze, and then when they come to scoop up the snow, they're going to pop it right back out. No, do the whole street. That's what I told them in my letter. From Lynn to Bay Miller, do the whole street. Amen. Oh, they ain't going to do nothing now because voting time is over. Yeah, but the voice of a church is loud. Hello. And if they see about 100 slips coming there for the same thing, yeah, they're going to have to do something. Because I'm giving them 1 week, 1 week, 1 week. I'm going down to City Hall. Me and Cranley going to have a little talk. Amen. 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 They do it everywhere else. They do it everywhere else. Amen. I'm tired of having the fear of holes. Amen. If we read or watch the news, it seems that there are also many other things that the world seems to be afraid of at the moment. Some people still fearing Trump. You ain't got to fear Trump. God been keeping you all these years. Don't matter. Wars and rumors of wars around the world. Read your Bible. That's scriptural. We are living in the end times. So stop being scared. Amen. The economy. Quit being scared. Health insurance, life insurance, the raising cost of food. So many things that we can be afraid of. It's nothing but from the devil. Fear can hold us back in every area of our life. Hello. Fear can hold us back in our Christian walk. Fear is the opposite of faith. Are you going to be gripped by fear, or do we have the confidence of faith in God? Listen to the words of Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to what? When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Amen. Praise God. Somebody said this morning. Amen. Fear is something the enemy uses against us. But we can learn how to defend ourselves against fear. God has provided us with a gift to overcome fear. What did he provide? A spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. By faith, we have the ability to overcome fear. The words of Moses in Exodus 14:14 are still relevant to us today. The Lord himself, Lord Jesus, will fight for you. Just stay calm. I highlighted and underlined that, made that bold, because that's where most of us have our problem. We don't know how to stay calm. Right. Stuff be happening. We got, Lord Jesus, stay calm. Right. How many believe God is on your side? Right. What does the scripture say? If God be for us, oh, you can quote it, but can you exercise it? Quit falling apart. Hold it together. Stay calm and watch God move. See what God's going to do on your behalf. Too many times we out there fretting and fretting and fretting and fretting, and we miss what God is trying to do. Why? Because we're so frightful and fearful and fretful that we forget to concentrate and focus on God. God fights our battles when we are confident in the fact that God fights our battle. Fear cannot grip us.
If I know God is in control, can't nothing hurt me. There are many verses in the Bible that teach us we should have faith in God rather than fear of circumstances and situations. I got a couple of examples, just two. That's all I'm pulling up today, just two. Jeremiah 1:8. And don't be afraid of who? Don't be afraid of the people. Jesus said, let me tell you who you should be scared of. You better be scared of God. Man can only hurt the body, but God can kill both body and soul. Hello, somebody. What about Psalms? What about Psalms 34? It says, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from their trouble. Tell somebody, trouble don't last always. Trouble don't last always. These are great words of encouragement. They are truth we need to hold deep inside our hearts and in our mind. We have no reason to fear because we are children of God. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. God is with us in every situation and circumstance. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and self-discipline. Don't allow fear a foothold in your life. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? When the situation looks bad, even when there seems to be evidence we should be fearful, we are to trust God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 reminds us, for we live by believing and not seeing. God's destiny for you, his beloved child, is not for you to live in fear. God wants all of us, all of us, all of us, to trust him in all circumstances. God wants us to live by faith. We need to walk by faith, not by what you see. Not by what you see. We can trust God. He knows what's going on. Hold on, wait a minute. He knows what he's doing. Billy used to be my barber. All y'all know Billy. Billy Dean used to be my barber. When I first started going to Billy Dean, I sat in his chair, sat down, and he started cutting my hair. I said, hold on, bro. I need you to do this. He said, Pastor, I don't tell you how to preach. This is my profession.
All right.
I said, brother, you know what you're doing. And I left it alone. Amen. God wants us to get to the point where we just leave it alone. Can we get to the point where God knows what he's doing? Even in our lives? Even when it's messed up, jacked up, toe up from the flow up, God still knows what he's doing. He still knows what he's doing. When God's people are free from fear, we can walk in power. Hello. Authority. And victory. When God's people are free from fear, we will experience a more abundant life in Christ. On the other hand, fear will steal our joy. Amen. Fear will kill our motivation. Fear will destroy our destiny. Please don't feed your fear. Sometimes what we're afraid of is just there a little bit. It's not there always. Multiple fears with lies that the enemy has told us will show us why the devil is called the father of all lies. Sometimes we strike out on things that's just a lie, and we get fearful because it's a lie, and we know it's a lie, but yet we still get fearful about it, and we still get all messed up and flustered about it. Why? Because we know it's a lie, and it's not the truth. So why don't you just sit back and let God handle the lie? People ask me, they say, Pastor, you know they saying this and that about you. I said, and? If I know it ain't the truth, I ain't got nothing, you know. Why do I? They writing this on Facebook about you. Number one, I don't have Facebook, so that tell you I don't care what they writing about me. Amen. Because whatever they writing about me can't be true because it didn't come from God. Hello? 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 So why y'all worried about people saying about you? As long as you can lay your head down at night and look up towards heaven and say, God, is it all good?
And his reply to you is say, yes, my beloved. Then go on to sleep. Who worried about what people got to say? If you've done your best for what God has called you to do, then call it a day. Here's what the devil tries to do. He tries to handicap us with fear because he knows the truth will both set us and make us free. The devil uses natural emotions and fear against us to make us feel helpless in resisting him. He wants us to doubt the Lord and ourselves because it makes him appear stronger than what he really is. We give the devil too much credit. Hello, hello, hello. The Bible even said he's nothing more than a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may. Y'all get the word may. Who he may. That don't mean he will.
That's right.
Who he may, that means he got to get permission. Shut up, straight horn. He may, that means he might come down your street, growl at your door, but you ain't got to open it. Too many times we feed in what the devil's trying to feed us, and we going off the deep end.
Right.
When God ain't told us to go, he said stand.
Right.
Anybody willing to make a stand today? He makes a lot of noise. He's just a barking dog. Yapping, 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 yapping. And unfortunately, even folk in the church get scared of the devil. The devil discredits God in every way he can, whispering lies of accusations about us to God, as he did to Adam and Eve. His tactics haven't changed. Just as Satan led Adam and Eve to eat and feed off the forbidden fruit, Satan continues to help us feed our fears today. I ain't talking about the fear of the dark or monsters in the closet. No, 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 no. The devil is smarter than that. Hello. 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 He's smarter than that. He deals with the fears we face each day. What kind of fear? The fear of failure. That we ain't gonna get it right. Failure in our marriage, failure with our kids, failures on our job. He hits us with where we might fail at, and we start to get fearful about that. He hits us with the fear of ridicule. Some of us are so self-conscious about what people say to us, that's what drives us. Some of us, tell the truth, shame the devil, got to check our Facebook page before we go out in the morning. So we can see the temperature of what people thinking. And if they done said something about you, now you got to feel like you got to do something about it before you even leave the house. Look at somebody and say, get over folk. Get into God. How about reading your scripture before you leave the house? How about start feeding your spirit man before you go out the door? How about talking words of confidence to yourself, saying, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How about saying, no weapon formed against me shall prosper? How about saying words that I can do all things before you step out the door? I dare you to start saying that to your spirit. I can do all things.
Come on now.
Through Christ,
yeah,
who gives me the strength.
Yeah.
Fear of a broken heart. Fear of relationship. Everybody is fearful, just fearful. One cause of fear is focusing on the temporal. I'm going to go home in a minute. Okay, we want to take a phone break. We want to answer our phones and talk on the phone while I'm trying to preach. Look at somebody and say, that's the devil.
That's the devil.
Lord Jesus. Man, now you're about to take me somewhere I don't really want to go. I just seen if y'all was paying attention. I'm going to stay focused. Oh, yeah. Don't y'all start nothing up in here. I got some crazy folk. Amen. We got to clearly understand one cause of fear is, as soon as I said that, y'all see how the devil just set them phones off? It's focusing on the temporal. In St. Matthew 14, we find Jesus feeding the 5,000. He got done with that. He told the disciples to get on the ship and he'll catch up with them. They were obedient, but with that act of obedience came a great storm. Now, how often we as Christians face our greatest storm when we're trying to obey God? I'm trying to go somewhere now. Huh? Huh? Not all storms in our life are directed by the adversary. We can be serving the Lord and still encounter a storm. Anybody just doing the work of God and you still got a storm in your life? We can be in church, supporting the church, and still come across a storm. We can be preaching, teaching, singing, serving as a deacon, minister, deaconess, and still come into a storm. We can be living the best Christian life we can live and still end up in a storm. Storm sent and orchestrated by the Lord is for our betterment. All too often we give the devil too much credit. That's another sermon. But let's go to Matthew 14, 25 through 31, and I'm going to get ready to go home. Amen. During the fourth watch of the night, everybody know what the fourth watch is? That's right before dawn. It's dark. Jesus went out to them. Walking where? On the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. I got 10 minutes. It's a ghost. And cried out in what?
Fear.
I'm getting ready to get us delivered. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. Yeah. It is I. If Christ is in your life, take courage. Yeah. Why? Because he done showed up on the scene.
Right.
Don't be afraid. Lord, it's always one, ain't it?
Right.
It's always one. Lord, if it's you, because we think it's a ghost. But if it's you, because we know if it's you, you got power to do the impossible. So Peter, he going to step out on what he think going to be working for him. He said, Lord, if it's you, tell me, not the other ones. Sometimes you just want to experience some stuff for yourself. Hello, hello. You don't need shut up straight on. You don't need everybody. See, because everybody ain't on the same page you on. When you try to get everybody to do the mission with you, it gets messed up. Why? Because God didn't call them. He called you.
Right.
Oh, Jesus. Tell me to come to you on the water. In other words, I'm only going to operate according to your word. Your word. What's your word say, Lord? What Jesus say? Come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water. Look at somebody and say, that's the scripture. He walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, I've never seen wind before. I felt the effects of the wind. I've seen what the wind can do. I've seen wind blow trees down, houses over, but I've never seen the wind. But the scripture says what when Peter saw, that had to be a horrifying thing. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. Oh, Jesus. See, sometimes I said it last time, I'm going to say it. You ain't got time for no long prayers.
Right.
Come on. You gotta get
when you're in an emergency situation, at least get two words out. Either Lord, help, or as Peter said, save me.
Right.
You ain't got time for, oh, Jesus, most holy one, the Son of God, the living God, the Holy Trinity. Lord, you above all, you the Alpha. You ain't got time for that. Save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Why you doubt? You the one asked to come in the first place. That's us in ministry. Jesus called us to come. We're bold enough to step out. We start walking towards him and we start looking at the situation.
we take our eyes off the one who called us. And when we take our eyes off Jesus, the stuff around us starts to drown us. But please have sense enough to know when you're drowning to call on Jesus. I got to go on, actually. I can't stay there. Jesus came walking on most of the disciples. They was terrified because, look. I want to look at Peter. You can say what you want about Peter. But Peter, after calling out, being assured it was Jesus, asked to come out. He took his eyes off the temporal. He took his eyes off the laws of physics. He ignored the rules of H2O. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen equals a liquid, not a solid, to hold up a body. He ignored all those facts and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. We got to give Peter some credit. He's the only man in the world, on this planet, in ever history, to walk on water. He was able to get his eyes off his circumstances, even if it was for a short time. When Jesus said, come, Peter walked on the water. You talk about having a spirit of fear, but of sound mind, he ain't have no fear. He knew that Jesus was there. He was going towards Jesus. He didn't care what was around. He didn't care who was there. He didn't care what was happening. He had a sound mind because he kept his eyes on Jesus. Only if he kept his eyes there. When he took his eyes off, fear set in. And the Bible said at that point, he began to sink. Notice that one of the strongest causes of fear is looking at our surroundings and temporal things, things that's not permanent. We need a sound mind to stay on the Lord. If not, we will begin to operate and move in fear based on temporal things. James Cleveland sang the song, "This Too Shall Pass." Whatever we're going through, even in the church, it shall pass. It's temporal. We've been here 55 years, amen? And anything that's been in our 55 years has been temporal. And God has given us a process to stand and to continue to move forward. When we view our surroundings based on our vision, we remove the Lord from the process. I'm going to keep God right in my view. He has given us a vision. I don't care what the world say. I don't care what the city says. I don't care what's going on around us. All the buzz stuff that's happening, God has called us to stand right where we are. Now, how many of you know there's many times we've been tempted to just go ahead and move? But God says, stay. Because he got great things in store for this community. This ain't about the church. It's about what he wants us to do in the community. And the impact that we're already having. But the greater impact that he wants us to have. The devil wants us to come off course. The devil wants us to come down off the wall. The devil wants us to stop the process. I'm trying to help somebody to understand. Stop looking at what's going on around. Stop looking at membership. How many of you know that God don't need a whole lot of folk? Jesus only had 12 and turned the world upside down. He don't need a whole lot of folk. He just needs some faithful folk. Look, they would have went to the promised land if they would have believed 2 instead of 10.
Right.
They was at the promised land in 11 days. But if they would have believed 2, Caleb and Joshua, if they would have believed them instead of the other 10, they would have been in the promised land. But they got scared. They giants. We look like grasshoppers compared to them. Amen. They got grapes bigger than we are. They giants over there. We can't fight that. They too big for us. And Moses said, well, let's have the advice of the 10. Let's go ahead and bypass. And for 40 years, Lord Jesus, 40 years, they walked around in the wilderness when they could have been there in 11 days. Second Corinthians says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith,
it's impossible to please God. One of the ways the devil instills fear is by telling us lies about who we are and what we are facing. He whispered, look at your pitiful condition. He whispered, look at your sad finances. Have anybody ever looked at their finances and got sad? Don't play with me now. I'm telling the truth. Amen. I've looked at my finances a couple of times and got sad. Amen. But I had to change my countenance. I had to change my thinking. And I had to say, my father, shut up, bro. Don't be preaching my message. My father is rich. And as soon as I changed my mindset, God stepped in and showed me how rich he really is. I've never missed a meal. My bills have always been paid. I'm trying to help somebody. Even when I stepped off a job because God told me to, he still took care of me. Still took care because it had to pass. Amen. I ain't going there today. The devil tried to tell some of us, you won't make it. That's what he tried to tell us. You ain't going to make it. How many times you been on your job and he tell you, you need to quit. Because you ain't going to make it. This job is killing you. You ain't going to make it. If God don't tell you to leave, don't you leave. God might have you there to change somebody else's heart. Hello, somebody. I'm trying. He might have you there to change somebody else's heart. He might have you there to change somebody else's mind. He might have you there to change the whole company.
Right.
Sodom and Gomorrah fell not because of sin. Amen. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't fall because it was sinful guys there, sinful people there. That's not why Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed. Yes, God sent them there to destroy that place, but yet Abraham stepped in and said, Lord, can I negotiate with you? Then, Lord, are you going to kill everybody if there's some righteous folks there too? God said, if there's righteous folk, I won't kill the land. He said, well, if it's 50 of them there, will you save the land? God said, if it's 50, I'm going to save the land. I love Abraham. He's a great negotiator because he know that 50 wasn't in the land. Lord Jesus, he said, Lord, how about 40 if it's 40? He said, Lord said, you know what? If it's 40, I will save the land. He said, well, hold on, God, because I know my folk. I know some people over there. What if there's just 30? All right, if it's 30, hold on, Jesus, Lord. Let me just break it down to you. I know a couple of people over there, but I don't know. What about 20? If it's 20, Abraham, I will not destroy the land. Abraham said, well, that sounds pretty good, but hold on. What if there's 10, Lord? If there's 10 righteous folk in the land, will you save the land? God said, if it's 10, I said, now wait a minute. Lot,
come on.
His wife,
yeah,
his two daughters,
right.
That's 4. All we need is 6 more righteous folk in the land, and we're going to save this whole city. They couldn't find 6 righteous folk. So sin didn't kill the city. Righteousness. So I don't worry about what folk doing in the street. I want to know where's the righteous folks at who are going to fall on their knees, who are called by his name and humble themselves and pray. Then God, we got to turn from our wicked ways. Then God will heal our land and heal our nation. God is looking for the righteous.
Yeah. That's right.
Where the righteous folk at? I'm looking for righteous in the church. Some church has fallen because there was no righteous folk. They were pretenders. They had a form of godliness, but did not possess the power within. But I'm looking for righteous folk who know how to call on the name of God, that has the faith that God will answer. The devil's trying to tell you, you don't give enough to God. So he's punishing you. You won't get that new job, so don't even bother interviewing. Anybody got that whispered in your ear? Yeah. God, I love this one the devil tried to put on you. God will never forgive you for that sin.
Hello.
And some of us fall into that trap. I might as well just go on to hell now because God ain't going to forgive me of that sin. But what does 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess, see, you got to do something. You got to open up your mouth. You got to tell God, I'm wrong and you right. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You get a bonus on the end. That stuff you didn't even know you did. Conscious and unconscious, known and unknown. God will forgive you for that stuff too. Clean you up and say, go on, my child.
Right.
Just like Jesus told the woman caught in adultery. He said, where your accusers at? She said, there are none, Lord. He said, I don't accuse you neither. Go and sin no more. Somebody should have shouted for a second chance. Fear has been defined as an acronym as false evidence appearing real.
Right. Wow.
Appearing real. Fear make you think the worst will happen. Satan holds up a magnifying glass to make things appear larger than they may actually be. How many of y'all got that little sticker on your side mirror? Objects in mirror may be closer to you. Why would you do that to me? Give me a real mirror that's going to show me the actual projection of where stuff is. I don't need it to be closer than what it really is. I need it to be real. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all got them new fancy cars, though, that when somebody come on the side of you, a little light come on. Beep, beep, beep. See, I know who got new cars when you start shaking your head. Yeah, that's a new car membership. Amen. Amen. And so we got to understand, fear is real. It's a real feeling that we cannot deny. However, if we allow the enemy to deceive us with fear, and we do not submit our fears to the fear or reverence of God, we can be open to the spirit of fear. This spirit intimidates us. It keeps us from being bold and courageous. Sometimes it shows up in subtle ways, fearful to teach Bible class, fearful to chair ministry, fearful to serve as master of ceremony at a church service, fearful to lead anything in the church or for the Lord. Please don't feed your fears. Often I find people who are struggling or fearful with the pressures of life, raising children, working at jobs, coping with illness, financial burdens, loss of a job. The list go on and on. Tell somebody, I want to be free from fear. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Give the Lord a praise. Lord's will, we'll come back with the rest next week.